All right, everybody. Mike and Abbott here with this week's Bible study. This is November 20th, 2022, and tonight we're going to cover Micah chapter 4 and 5, Humble Beginnings. Peace and security come through obedience to God. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this time. We thank you again for the opportunity we have to study your word, to take away that which you would have us to utilize in our lives, Lord, that we can be what you have called us to be in these last days. Lord, help us to use the examples given in this study that we may be better equipped for the days that are ahead. Lord, as we enter into these latter days, Lord, where darkness seems to have the upper hand right now, but Lord, we know that we have the victory through the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, and as we enter into this time of study, just open our minds and our hearts to your truth and your truth alone. In Christ Jesus, amen. All right, so let's start out because we really, one of the key things that we'll see in this study is the important place that humility plays in this study. And in Matthew 20:16, it says, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." And so, when you look at some of the leaders, shining ones in throughout Scripture, you'll find a common thread, and that is humility. You see that when Moses had a humble beginning as a shepherd for 40 years before he was used by God. David, of course, a shepherd boy. Jesus born in a manger, and then, of course, the death upon a cross. And then, of course, we see the disciples who were unschooled, but yet transformed their world. So we also see the importance of humility when it comes to the fulfillment of Scripture, especially among what the Jewish remnant. And the importance of that in the second coming of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 23:37, it says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So that is a key verse for understanding when the second coming of Jesus Christ will occur. Romans 11:26, and we know that this is a key. We know that the remnant will be spared. They will be saved out of the tribulation. In Romans 11:26, it says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Of course, we know that Jacob is a overall statement for or representation for the nation of Israel. All right, so the characteristics of the kingdom, and looking at verses 1 through 8 in chapter 4. So verse 1, it says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it." So usually you see when you see the last days, it refers to the tribulation and the millennium. So in the Old Testament, the word kingdom often referred to the millennium. All right. So the mountain of the house of the Lord, all right, that was the Mount of Zion where the millennial temple will be built. You can cross-reference that in Ezekiel 40 through 43. Then the top of the mountains, the temple site, will be the center of the millennial government, the place where Christ will rule. The exalted above the hills, And so the temple site will be the center of the millennial government, the place where Christ rules. And in the millennium, Israel's political religious system directed by the Messiah King will be the predominant in the world. And God's plan to bless the world through Israel, Genesis 12:3, was not nullified by her sin. Eventually, Israel will be predominant above all nations. And then the last part of that is people shall flow unto it. So in the millennial, people everywhere will realize the unique place Israel occupies in God's plans. In verse 2, it says, "And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and he will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So you've got the temple complex is the mountain of the Lord and the house of God of Jacob. You've got the kingdom, in the kingdom, saved Gentiles will want to learn the way of the Lord. All right, so they want to hear. And of course, he's going to teach. Whereas, ironically, Israel was not interested in obeying the Lord. Whatever, and this is really a rebuke for those in Micah's time, the contemporaries there that failed on this issue. All right, and says the law, and this will not be the Torah, this will be instruction given by the Lord, and that instruction will be part of the revelation about himself and his standards. And then verse 3, "And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So you have bringing their all these nations, these strong people, these many people from strong nations will bring all their disputes to the Lord, submitting to his judgment, knowing that it will be just and it will be right. And then you have the instruments of war will be made into instruments of agriculture. All right, that agriculture, and that represents, you know, this this overall supply need and taking care of all those things through this change, because there will need for learning war, and peace is going to reign. So peace, when there's peace, there's prosperity. When there's war, there's devastation. All right, so verse 4 says, "But they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree. None shall make them afraid, and the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it." So you've got, in this section, you've got under his vine and under his fig tree representing security and prosperity. Then you've got none shall make them afraid. So there's no fear of losing their security. Who is in charge? Because it comes from the mouth of the Lord of hosts. He's spoken this, that they will have no need to be afraid. And there's no greater security than the protection of the Lord. Verse 5, "For all people will walk, everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." So the pagan nations, this is this, when it says all people will walk, everyone in the name of his God, is representing the pagan nations of the days of Micah. All right, so in the millennial kingdom, Israel will follow and obey the standards of the Lord. Because we know from our previous studies that Israel was doing anything but following and obeying the standards of the Lord. They were as wrapped up in the paganism of the day as any of the pagan nations themselves. So, and this is the thing you see in these verses, is that you see a representation of the current and more recent times, but also there's a reference to times way in the future. And you'll see that, and we've seen that throughout some of our other studies in the Old Testament. There's that reference to current events and upcoming events that are relatively close, and also the longer term events that often reference the time of Christ and also the millennial kingdom. So now, in that day, so in Micah 6, 4 through 8, it says, "In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, ever forever, even forever. In verse 8 it says, And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. So at the beginning of the, it's of course referencing the beginning at that day, the beginning of the millennium. This is when the Lord will gather the exiles, the remnant that is saved from the tribulation, the strong and the weak, a complete restoration. So he's going to save all of these in that time. It will be complete restoration. And then, and that is of the believing remnant, okay? So the remnant of Israel, in contrast to Micah's time, will be a loyal and strong nation. We know that Israel is not loyal, and they're not a strong nation. They have been taken over by numerous other nations. The remnant Israel, in contrast to Micah's time, will be loyal and a strong nation. They will be the nation that everybody else looks up to. The promises seem almost too good to be true. They seem unbelievable, but God signifies to them it shall come, and the people will be under the leadership of their Messiah. Remember Matthew 23. And who will watch over them as a good shepherd over the flock. Now, Israel, verses 9 and 10 were not in our study, but they kind of close out this section where, again, Micah gives them this call. He says, Now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is there no counselor perished? So they are going to go through, because this is the way it works. Has there ever been a time when a woman went into labor and didn't have pain? Is there a time when there was no king in thee? You've had these counselors, you've had all these things, but your pains have taken thee as a woman in travail. So guess what you're getting ready to go through. So he reflects back on the coming punishment, coming judgment. Verse 10, Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For no shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. And thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered, and the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. So you'll see in this where, again, you see the first part, 9 through verse 10a, that first part, Israel would be exiled to Babylon, that judgment. But then there's this hope, Israel would be rescued from Babylon, okay? He would deliver them from Babylon. He will redeem them, all right? And one will come. So this is a future prophecy of the Lord Jesus. Verse 1 says, Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. All right, so in this section, it's a future, it's making reference to the future event. And that future event is, of course, where Babylon, of course, is going to be laying siege. So it's coming. It's not there yet, but it's real close. So Babylon will lay siege. Your troops, your military is not, you can bring them, but it's no good. Babylon's going to take over. And it says in Christ, when it says smite the judge of Israel, of course, we know that Christ will be a judge, right? The judge. But it also can easily reference Zedekiah. We know Christ was wounded in the head, right? Through the cross. But we also know that Zedekiah was captured and tortured by the Assyrians, by Nebuchadnezzar. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, thou though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall be will he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. All right, so and that's simply but thou, and this is again, he's separating. This is that future prophecy, the future event is there, and then that Bethlehem Ephrathah was a reference, an old name for Bethlehem, and we know that both David and of course Christ come from out of Bethlehem. But the thing that signifies that this is not David, but will be the Messiah, but will be Jesus, is it says, whose goings forth, all right, so is from old, is from everlasting. So from old, from everlasting, this is a reference to eternity, a future, the future event that will come, and of course, the old name of Bethlehem, the Christ is the everlasting, and in this everlasting represents the eternality of Jesus Christ. In verse 3, it says, therefore will he give them up unto the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So again, this references that time of tribulation, all right, that's going to happen. Verse 4, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. So, again, referencing Christ. So, unlike the leaders of Micah's day, Christ will lead in his strength. All right, so a much more dependable leader than what they had in the leadership of Israel. All right, so one will come. All right, in verse 5, and this man shall be the peace. All right, so the peace, Christ will care for his people and give them peace. Then you have, when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. All right, so the Assyrian in the Old Testament is the name, and you'll see the Assyrian listed several times throughout, multiple times throughout Scripture in the Old Testament. And it's really an image of the Antichrist. So you have different images, image bearers of the Antichrist in the Old Testament. And of course, you also have that in our world, you see these spirit of the Antichrist in leaders because they have one goal. Many, it's the same goal, and that's destroy the creation of God, those especially created in his image. All right, so we know that many nations had rules. So you see these 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. We know that many nations have ruled Israel with the sword, and of course, in the millennium, it will be a totally different story. In verse 6, it says, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod, and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. Again, so we see the land of Nimrod was a synonym for Assyria or Persia. And Nimrod was one of these Old Testament representations of the Antichrist so again he was a representation that wanted to defy the words of God, the statutes of God, and lead away his people. Then we have the Messiah shall save in that last part. He deliver us from the Assyrian. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian. So that's a reference again, the Messiah shall save. All right, so for some of the nations, the remnant of Jacob would be a blessing. All right, who would they be a blessing to? Those that came to hear of the Lord, to seek and learn of the Lord. But for others, it would be like a roaring lion bringing death, those that reject. What's more, God would eradicate his people's ungodly practices from among them. and take vengeance against the nations that disobeyed him. And that's in just completes or gives you an overview of chapter 5, 7 through 15. All right, so chapter, and then you have the remnant, Micah 7 through 9. Verse 7, it says, and then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as the dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for the man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. So the remnant again, who are the remnant of Jacob? They are the believing Israelites. All right, so this dew from the Lord, showers, all right, this is the refreshing. This is the influential part. This is because we know that as dew and the showers are not from men, they are from the Lord. So in God's timing, so too will be the nations as all these nations come together in this millennial time. All right, so in verses 8 and 9, it says, and the remnant of Jacob, of course, again, that's in reference to the remnant of Israel, shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks and of the sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. All right, so the remnant again, of course, we know that's Israel, will also be like a lion, like a ferocious lion, domineering over other animals, over other nations. Israel will be the dominant and powerful nation over all other nations of the world, Deuteronomy 28:13. And God said he will lift up Israel's hand over her enemies. So in verse 9 it says, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. So God said he will lift up Israel's hand over her enemies, and that all her foes will be destroyed. Again, this is referencing the millennial kingdom. All right, so again, this is in the messages we have with Micah. We see this judgment, we see punishment, we see all those things taking place, but then we see the healing, the restoration, and the promises of future hope of Israel's redemption through the Messiah and through the millennial kingdom. But these people are going to, you know, they're going to have to deal with their rejection. And then once they call upon his name, that's when the Messiah, the second coming, will take place, as we saw in Matthew 23. So how do we apply the text? Believers can find hope in God's promise of salvation. He does not, as we've seen throughout Scripture, he does not fail to fulfill his promises, his covenant promises. Believers can experience God's peace through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other peace that you will find outside of Jesus Christ. As this world falls apart, as we know it will in these latter days, we know what's coming. Our dependence will be upon, if we are seeking to have peace in the time of this continued deterioration of our nation and then of the world, then that peace is going to come through nothing that is of our hands. That peace is going to come through our faith in Jesus Christ. And all people must decide to trust God. That's outside of Jesus, outside of trusting Jesus Christ, where is your hope? Where can we find hope? No man is going to fix the spiritual problems that we have. It is a spiritual problem that has to be corrected. And as we know in 2 Chronicles, it says, if my people that are called by my name will what? Will humble themselves. And until that happens, there will not be a change in direction in this company until the people that are called by his name humble themselves. And, you know, so far we're not seeing that. And unfortunately, much like the people of Israel, we are going to be pressed into reaping what we have sown. And maybe once that reaping begins, then maybe we will finally humble ourselves and come before our God and seek his face. So Why Christ? And again, this is the significance of everything that we study. The scriptures are the story of Christ. And we know from who we are that we are all sinners. We've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. We missed the mark, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're all sinners. All right. Even so, God loves us. So He's made a way. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, He sent Christ, died for us. He has not only provided salvation, but a way for us to live forever. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He asked us to turn away from our sins, just like He has asked Israel to turn away and repent, to move away from your sins. And He asked the same of us. We have to turn away from our sins. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So we can all call upon the God for salvation. So whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's key. And how can you know? Then it says, how then shall they call on Him of whom they have not heard or not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm not a preacher. I'm a Bible study teacher. And this is God's word. You've heard His word. And if He stirred you, if he's made an impact on you, if His words have stirred you, His spirit has stirred you, then understand that Jesus is faithful. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And He has done that. And on His robe is now a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in Revelation 19. So today is the day of salvation. We are not guaranteed the next breath. We can't put off till tomorrow what should be done now. If the message has come into your heart, if the Spirit has moved you and you feel that need and you feel that desire to seek and know Him, then say after me, dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that You love me and that You want to save me. And Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God who died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe God raised You from the dead. I know I now turn from my sin and by faith receive You into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, forgive my sins, and save me, Lord Jesus. In Your name I pray. Amen. And if you said that, then welcome to the family. You may not have felt anything as you said those words. That doesn't matter. He will begin a new work in you. I encourage you to download the PDF that you find here. It's a great way to begin in your new journey. Also encourage you to read the book of John, read a chapter each day, and pray to God that He will open your heart, your mind, and your spirit to His truth. And He'll open the scriptures to you that you may know Him. And let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You again, Lord, that You have laid out example after example after example for us to know what we need to do, what we must do in order to walk rightly, to walk in Your will, to walk in Your path, to find that narrow way. Lord, You've said to us over and over in Scripture that sacrifice is not as important to You as obedience. Lord, let us humble ourselves. Let us bend our knees. Let us bow our faces and come before You in humility, repenting of any sins. Lord, seeking You to do a work in these latter days, using us as Your instruments. Lord, that we may be that light, and we will be the salt in our workplaces, in our families, in our communities, and even in our churches. Lord, just do a new work in us, Lord. Use us as You would see fit in these latter days, Lord, that we may fulfill the commission that You have asked us to fulfill in the time that is now before us. For we are here for such a time as this. And Lord, we just praise you and give you all the glory. Lord, we thank you for your grace that you've extended to us to bring us into your family. And we thank you for the mercies that are new each and every moment. And Lord, we thank you for the love that you've shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's in his name we pray and ask it. And all God's people said, amen. All right, folks, we'll see you again real soon. And love you. Take care. And be back soon.